Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. And He loves you.
Thank you for tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We're in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everybody a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G., you on the line?
Yes, I am. How are you?
I'm praising the Lord. I got some kind of allergy thing going on, but we're doing well. Dr. G, you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir. We're here.
Praise God. We're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can rightly divide the word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Sheila G, Dr. G, we have been studying the book of Acts, and we have been studying last week about Simon, the sorcerer, as he came in contact with Philip, and also how Peter and John taught about the Holy Spirit, and how the church being persecuted and scattered was allowed to continue to preach the gospel in places that it hadn't been preached. And a lot of times we get focused so much in the smaller picture that we don't see the bigger picture. And that was one of the things on last week. We didn't get to the phone lines, but we just wanted to see how God has a bigger plan a lot of times than what we see, what our situation is currently. Sometimes what we see dictates what we do. And a lot of times, God has a bigger plan, so we have to understand that the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal, and that God has a big plan. And if we continue to trust God, He'll reveal it to us in time, but not to get so caught up in the moment. And if you get caught up in the moment, you can get into your feelings and your emotions, and you can start following the flesh instead of following the Spirit. And we saw how Philip and how he expressed to Simon and how Peter and John expressed to Simon about the Holy Spirit and how this thing is of God and you can't buy it. And people get discouraged because of what they see, and they'll follow anything that sounds good. Instead of like you and Dr. G were talking about last week, how people should get into the Word and follow God instead of following man. And a lot of times, if you boil it down to it, a lot of times people don't want to wait on God. People want to take the easy route. People want to go along with the crowd. You know, what's hot, what's going on right now, instead of saying, okay, you know, this shortcut looks good, this sorcery looks good, this thing looks good, this feels good for the moment. But let me see what the long game is. Let me see what picture it is that would keep me in the long term, because I know, you know, weeping may endure for a night, but joy is going to come in the morning, and I need to stick with God's plan in spite of what this thing is looking like right now, because I'm not feeling it, I don't understand it, but I know if I trust God in the end, He'll reveal it to me in time. So a lot of times you have people, you have ministers, you have political leaders that they pimp people for the short term gain, and they're not looking at the long term consequences. We see that there's nothing new under the sun. And see how people compromise their faith, people compromise their political belief, their belief with their families for the short term, but in the long term, they come up short. And you know, that's the thing that was with this guy Simon. You know, he flip flopped and said, "Hey, I'm gonna leave my sorcery and I'm gonna go with these people, this new thing that came into town with this Holy Spirit. I'm gonna try to buy it. I'm gonna pimp this." And in the end, the apostle said that, you know, you can't buy this, and you've been revealed, and God is going to, you know, do some devastating things to you. And then he was hurried up, wanted to preach to say, hey, pray that God won't do this thing to me. And so his short term gain was revealed as wickedness, and his long term situation was not good. And I think a lot of times people in church, they want their short-term gain, not realizing that short-term gain is not good for them in the long run. The Bible says, you know, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his soul? And so in this section, the church is being persecuted, but they didn't get sidetracked. They continued to preach the word. They continued to proclaim the gospel, and they dealt with the situation as they went. And I think that's a lifelong lesson: is not to get, you know, one way too far or one way too low or too high, but to learn to be content with God. And that's what Paul, one of his teachings was, is that he's been up and he's been down, but he learned to be content whatever the situation was, as long as he was with God and he was relying with God. And so I think that, in a nutshell, is the mindset of the church, is that, you know, these things are going to come, these demons are going to come, these challenges are going to come, but if we know that and we understand and trust God that He's in control, that we can make it through and still do the work of the Lord and not get sidetracked by every wind and doctrine that comes down the pipe. And people church hop, and people political hop, and people hop from marriage to marriage and relationship to relationship because they want this short-term feel good instead of dealing with the issue at hand. And is something that as we mature, we have to understand that God doesn't want us to fall apart. He wants us to stay on the battlefield. He wants us to be consistent in following Him as He takes us from place to place, from challenge to challenge, from issue to issue. I said last week that the church can chew gum and walk at the same time. We can do more than one thing, deal with this issue, and continue to be godly, continue to preach the gospel, continue to do what God wants us to do in the midst of these challenges that go on in our lives. And Yeshua G, I always look at, you know, our leaders, you know, like our mom and our dad, is they weren't perfect people. They had challenges in their lives. You know,
right.
It wasn't always a great, you know, spiritual high. But in spite of the challenges that came, they still stayed faithful. They still, you know, continued to minister. They continued to go to church. They continued to train, and they continued to reach out to other people. And I think that is something that we can look to. Our ancestors look to the Word of God to say, hey, you know, stick with it. Stay in there. Hang in there. In spite of what all these things are going to happen, you know, God has a plan. And if we follow His plan, our long-term outlook looks good. Sheila G.
Amen. And as you were speaking, there's two things that came to mind. And it's funny that you did mention our mother and father. And one of them was one of the things that Dad taught in his when he had deacon and deaconess training was he would share with them as officers that they needed to be consistent in their following in Christ and to be regular in their attendance in church, Bible study, and prayer service. And he said that the reason what you want to do with this, like you said, as far as what Paul was saying, whatsoever state I'm in, I'll be content by being consistent. Then the devil can't have you wavering back and forth, you know, just because you see somebody looks like somebody else is getting blessed, but you're not. But you're consistently following the Word of God and consistently being a servant unto the Lord. But in order to do that, you have to be regular. So he's like being consistent, but be regular in your attendance of church, Bible study, and prayer service so you can be consistent in following him and following his direction. The other thing was something that I, in my morning devotions, on one of the programs that I watch before I go to work, they were talking about how what God has for each and every one of us, God has for each and every one of us. He's given us spiritual gifts. He's given us gifts. He knows the path that he needs us to take as far as drawing others and passing on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Where we err and where Satan is able to sift us like wheat is, like you said, when we see, similar in this scripture, where we see somebody else doing something, whether they're a great singer or a great preacher or great whatever, and we're like, oh, well, I want to be able to do that. That looks good. That you know, I wish I could preach like that, or I wish I could sing like that, or be like that, or be able to talk to people like that. But that may not be how God wants to use you. So we have to not so much covet the gifts or things that we see, like the sorcerer saw Peter and was like, you know, oh, well, can I pay you so I can get some of that? And that's not what God wants. Do. He does not want us to pattern ourselves after someone else. He wants us to follow the path that he's given us and the direction that he's going to give us, the guidance that he's given us. That it's a personal relationship, which again goes back to being consistent and regular in our attendance and following of God.
Amen. Dr. G, you want to chime in on that?
I do, because I was sitting here thinking. I was thinking about when I started pastoring. I think my goals were not the same as the Lord. My overall goal was I wanted to be able to outlast the former pastor who was there about 15 years. But I didn't really think about, not until I got there, you know, heard all of what a new birth had been through and the things that they had undergone. But then after I got there and to see what was going on and how the Lord had to show me just to stand still and to be peaceful, but to do things the way he wanted. Now, I didn't see the big picture. All I knew, I wanted to help the former pastor who was there 15 years. But to fast forward to where we are now, getting ready to celebrate the 25th year of pastoring, I understand a bit better now why he did what he did and what he wanted me to do. He wanted someone to go in who was going to be strong enough to withstand attacks of the enemy. And there were many attacks, I mean, from people you wouldn't even expect it. But he showed me the biggest devil in there was the chairman of the Board of Deacons. And he told me that, you know, I would have to stand against that individual and be strong enough to withstand all that he was going to do. And although I obeyed him, I didn't quite understand completely until after I got in and I saw how things were going. But to sum it all up, I understand now the big picture a little bit better now than what I did then. And to see where we are now, I mean, my thing was I just wanted the church to be full and I could see myself preaching and, you know, helping people. But that wasn't what God had in store. God had, he wanted to clean that church up. And he wanted the church to be about what he wanted. And the church had to go through some house cleaning procedures on a number of times before he could begin to add the people that he want. And now when folk come, they see that, you know, people are genuine in there. It's a beautiful spirit in there where you can come, you can feel good about yourself. Because, you know, I tell them, no, we're not going to come in here, we're not going to judge. You know, it's about worshiping the Lord. It's not about talking about how great Gregory is. Gregory is still a work in progress. But it's all about what the Lord wants for the church. And people have got to understand, you know, it's not about how great we preach or how great we pray. It's about doing the will of the Lord. And if we could ever get to that point, we would be awesome.
Amen, amen. That's a great story. And that's the thing about God is when you spend time with him, God revealed that things to you in time, and he said he wants you to be wants us to be in there for the long haul, and to be able to understand his ways on our ways and his thoughts on our thoughts. But if we stand with the Lord and go along with his plan, eventually it'll work out, and we just have to be consistent. And I want to go back to Acts the 8th chapter and look at that verse 25. This is after Philip and Peter and John had ministered to the church, and like you said, Dr. G, God revealed the sorcerer. He revealed the demon in the midst of them, and now Peter and John are getting ready to go and continue to preach the word of God. And that's what I love about God's people. And there was a song, I think it was Donnie McClurk, and he used a nursery rhyme that we will fall, we fall down, but we get up. Right. And it's like so many times in ministry throughout the years, you see people fall down or you see people struggle in the church, but if you're true child of God, you won't stay down there. You might be down, but you'll get back up. And challenges come in your life and your family, and you're human. And that's what I tell people. I said, you know, God didn't promise that this road would be easy. He just promised that he'd be with us. And a lot of times that's a tough pill to swallow because the road gets a little rough sometimes, if we're honest. And we're human. We're in the flesh. And sometimes we're not feeling it. Sometimes we don't like it. And you stumble, but God will pick you back up and let you know I'm still with you, and
right.
This too shall pass. And so if we look at Acts 8, verse 25, after all that they had gone through, Peter and John, Philip, you know, dealing with the sorcery, dealing with this demon that was in the midst of the church, and I tell people all the time, don't be surprised that the demons are in the church, in the midst of the church. And, you know, sometimes people bring that demon spirit in the church with them. And the church just has to continue to follow God, that God will deliver and God will expose it in time. And so in verse 25, it says, I'm going to read from the NIV. It says, after they had further proclaimed the word of the Lord and testified about Jesus, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. And so they kept going. They kept doing the word, the will of the Lord. They kept focused in ministry. And a lot of times people give up on ministry. People don't stand on the wall. People don't remain consistent because of the challenges that come
right.
in their lives. And we have to understand that none of us are exempt from challenges.
That's
you know,
right.
A lot of times when we're preaching and teaching the word, and even on Bible study, and as the week goes by, the word that we've preached, the word that we've taught, it comes smack right in our face, and we're like, wow, I didn't know while we were preaching and teaching this that we were going to have to go through this. And,
exactly.
and a lot of times you're hearing the word of preach word of God, and you're hearing the taught word of God so that it can prepare you for what's coming, you know, tomorrow or tonight or the next week. And that's
right.
what a lot of times people are missing when they don't come to church, when they don't go to Bible study, when they don't have their personal devotion time, is that those personal times with God, collectively, as a worship body, as your personal devotion, as you're being taught, those times prepare you for the tough times.
Right.
If anybody's lived this life longer than one day, they know tough times come, struggles
yep.
come, and you get to a point where you like, wow, what next? And you always say, well, it's always something, you know.
Mm.
The devil is busy, and you know all of these things. And God says, yeah, that's true, but when evil is present and around, I'm there too, and I'll help you get through. And
yep.
so, as they went through all of that stuff, they continued to proclaim the word. That's what I love about the word of God. It helps you and it helps others. And when it says in verse 25, after they had further what? Proclaimed the word of God and what? Testified about Jesus. Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. In other words, there's a song that the old saints used to sing out of the Baptist hymnal. And it was all, I was on the battlefield for the Lord. And one
yeah.
of the refrains says, you know, I'm on the battlefield for the Lord, and I promised him that I would serve until I die. I'm
That's
on
right.
the battlefield for the Lord. And so they kept on the battlefield. We got too many saints, and I'm going to meddle a little bit. We got too many saints that have gotten off the battlefield.
Yeah.
And the faithful few are taking fire from every side, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But. You know, we got to encourage them to get back on the battlefield. It's one thing to be on the battlefield and encourage each other, but don't sit on the sidelines and criticize and be judgmental if you're not on the battlefield. If you're
Amen.
On the battlefield, we can help each other out. You got my back, I got your back. You know, God's got us all together, but we got to get the saints that know the Lord off the battlefield so we can continue to proclaim the word and testify about Jesus. Sheila G.
Amen. You know, that's so true as far as being on the battlefield for the Lord and having that relationship with him. I was talking this past Sunday about having the intimate relationship with God, being a true friend of God. And by having that intimacy, it's just like when you have a best friend, you know that person has your back no matter what, whether you're in a bad
yep.
mood, whether you're in a good mood,
yep.
you can always call and depend on them. When you're going through, they're going through with you. When you're happy, they're happy with you. And that's why we have to have that intimate relationship with the Lord, so that when the enemy comes up against us, we know that we may be unhappy, but we still have the joy of the Lord. And we can't treat Jesus and treat God like, I only want you around when I'm on a high or when things are going well. And what you find a lot of times is when people are going through, a lot of times that's when they want to leave the church, and that's when they really should go, so that, like you said, you can draw
yeah.
strength from others. But, you know, it's like, my life's not going right, everything's falling apart, and I'm unhappy, so what's the use of you going to church? What's the use of me going to church? Well, why are you going to church?
Hello.
Are you going to church to serve the Lord and to be a servant unto him, to draw others to Christ, to trust in him, because some of the best ways that you feel better when you're down is to go and help somebody else, encourage somebody
Amen.
Else. But if you're just going to church so God can give you a pick-me-up, so, which is good, yes, you should go to help to encourage you to grow, but you shouldn't go just for that, for, okay, I'm only going because I want God to make me feel good and then I'm good. But no, you also want to take that, get that intimate relationship with him so he can guide you through those storms. So when life is really bad, you don't just say, you know what, I ain't going to church, I can do bad all by myself. No, you can grow. You know, I read for our prayer service, James chapter 1, count it all joy when I fall into divers temptation, because the working of my patience builds character. So, you know, it helps patience, it helps you to be stronger. But you're not going to know that if you're not consistent and regular in your attendance in serving God. We have to have that intimate relationship with him, and we just can't give up when life, because yes, life, sometimes life sucks. It really, really does. But it sucks worse when you don't have a relationship with God, because at least when you have that relationship, you know that he's going to give you the strength. You don't know how you're going to get it through, but you know if you walk by faith and not by sight, you can stay on that battlefield. You can push through. You can get through it. Then you can start pulling on your past victory, saying, okay, you know what? God, you did it for me before. I'm just going to trust that you, not only are you going to bring it through me again, I'm going to recognize better when the enemy is coming against me so I can recover quicker. What happens when we get closer to the Lord, the storms don't stop. But we are better at handling them because we recognize them, because God gives us that wisdom to know that this is just the enemy coming at you, and you have a choice to either fall into that trap or stand on a wall, stand strong, trust in me, and get through that storm.
Amen, amen. And that's it. It's well said. The storm's not going to stop. And you know, as a pastor, as a spiritual leader, you know, you're still, as a pastor, you're still a spiritual leader, you're still in the flesh. It's like, you know, you get tired, you get allergies, you get, you know, all kind of things because you're human. But you still preach that word. still teach that word. And I know there's times where you don't feel like going and serving.
And
you say, well, you know, I got to stop making this thing about me and you know, serve the Lord. At times you feel like, I'm not going to preach on Sunday. I'm not going to teach. I'm not going to Bible study. I'm not praying. But it's all about me, you know. And I think a lot of times, Dr. D, people have to push through that all about me and realize it's not about me. It's about God and what he wants. And you know, you get up and you stand and you proclaim that gospel. You proclaim that word. You not feel it. You might be tired. You might be sick and tired. But you push past me. Allow the Spirit to use you to be able to proclaim that word, because somebody out there needs to hear a word from the Lord.
That's right.
And so I think ministry is about learning how to mature, not be so much about ourselves and be more about what God wants. And God will pull you through, even when you're not feeling it, Dr. G.
You're right. And, I mean, I was just sitting here thinking about when you and Sheila were talking. The bottom line is Christians just need to grow up and stop all this complaining about this, about that. I mean, either we're going to serve him in the way that he wants us to, or we're not. You know, for having pity parties and going through the motions. I mean, there have been times on Sunday I don't feel like going. I don't feel like going to church. And my wife, thank God for her, had to literally make me. Now, once I got to church, I felt great. And I share with people that even preachers and pastors, because we are human, and we get like that because times and things that we go through will wear you down. But that's the area where we just have to grow up in Christ, put away the milk, get onto some of this hard food that we can better grow in Christ. And until we grow up and understand that it's not about us to start off with, it's about the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I asked him the other Sunday, you know, look, we come to church to give God the praise. We come to church for him.
Amen.
To you know, go through the worships. And then I tell him, you know, you come into the church, you ought not come with a tune. Leave that tune outside. God has been too good for us to come in mad with somebody. You ought to come in with a smile on your face, excited to be there. And, you know, people think it's funny, but, you know, I'm serious about this thing. You know, I don't want to be around sad folk. I mean, I understand the proper time for sadness, but on Sunday morning, that's not it.
Amen, amen. And that's just real. And you know, understanding, like I said, the long picture is that God has the church here for a reason. The church is to spread the word, spread the gospel, and to edify and build each other up. And, you know, those are the things that the church needs to mature in, is edifying and building people up. But too many times we tear each other down, and that's the device of the enemy, to tear each other down, keep us at each other's throat. Mm-hmm. Where the Bible, since the church, we spread the gospel, we edify and build up the body that we might, you know, be the church that he would have us to be. But I think sometimes we get caught up in the short-term thing, get caught up in what we feel and what we want to do.
Yep.
And when we're not operating in the will of God, we're operating the will of me, myself, and I.
Right.
And that is not going to work with building up the body of Christ, and that's not going to work with saving souls. So that leads us to the next verse verses 26 through through verses 40. But we want to go to the phone line and see if people want to chime in before we go to this next section, because I know we didn't get any comments on last week. But just to understand that you know, the word of God and the assignment didn't change. And, you know, that is one of the sobering things of the being in this ministry, is that, you know, situations might have changed. You know, it might be raining, it might be cold, might be snowing, might be whatever. But the assignment that God has given us hasn't changed. And we have to realize and recognize that God gave that command. He said, go.
Amen.
He said, teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And he said, lo, I'll be with you always, even until the end of the word, even until the end of the world. And he said, amen. So the assignment hasn't changed. And so that is what echoes, and that's what rings, and that's what the clarion call to the church is that God says, yes, you're going to have trials, you're going to have tribulations, you're going to deal with demons and spirits and all kind of stuff, but the assignment hasn't changed. I still need you to go. You know, I know we used to, when we were kids, you know, we didn't feel well, didn't want to go to school, and you know, we get patted on the back and get our nose wiped. And you still had to go to school. Like, you're still going.
Hey,
you're still going. And it's the thing of the church has to understand. We still have to go. You know, you might not be feeling it today. You might not, you know, like it. But you still have to go. You still have to minister. And this is the reason is, you know, someone needs to hear the word of God, and someone needs to be uplifted. Someone needs to be ministered to. And a lot of times, you know, people will minister to the pastor, and they don't even know it, just by saying good morning or praying or singing a song or showing up to usher or showing up to take out the trash, you know, and then that ministers to people, say, hey, somebody loves the Lord. And just seeing somebody in action that loves the Lord will encourage me to say, Lord, have mercy. I know they went through last week or they're going through, you know, for a whole year with this or with that, and that encourages them. I know when we were going through with the illness of our folks and we would continue to worship God, people say, hey, you know, I got to step my game up because, you know, you're going through worse than me and you're still praising God. And that would encourage somebody else, or somebody might have a situation in their family or whatever. And, you know, they're going through, and they come and they show up and they praise God. You know, that's why we got to go. That's why we got to continue this journey, Sheila G.
Amen. And you're so right. It's sometimes it's just seeing someone else going through and still giving God the glory. And that encourages you. I know that I see that in a lot of our members, that they may be going through stuff or they may be feeling a certain way, but they still come and they still put a smile on their face and they're still showing that commitment. And that encourages everybody that, you know what, it doesn't matter what's going on with our fleshly bodies. If we trust in God, and I can see that person still with what they're feeling or how they're feeling, or they've just come out of the hospital and they're still giving God the glory and saying that, you know what, God has given me the work to do. It doesn't matter what happened. I'm going to serve him till I die. And it just catches on, and it goes from heart and heart and breast to breast. And the next thing you know, everybody is catching on that fire, because what it does, it takes our mind off of our fleshly bodies and puts our mind on spiritual things, which is what the Bible says, to focus on the spiritual things of life. That's how you overcome the fleshly and the physical things of life.
Yeah.
And we do that, and that's how we encourage one another, because when you see somebody else doing it, just like in Acts chapter 8, you could see how Peter and they were just consistent in their worshiping and glorifying God, that it just multitudes just kept following them no matter what in this whole book of Acts, no matter what challenges came, they were consistently following God, and it kept catching fire on the multitudes. And that's how we have to continue to be.
Amen. So I'm going to give people to chime in on these last 25 verses, but I just want to ask the question. Is how has the Lord helped you to keep on going? How has God helped you to keep going? And it's not easy, but when you realize that God is helping you, I just want to hear what people are testifying how God has helped you to keep going. We go to phone lines, and the last four digits, 1741. 1741, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
The Lord truly helped me keep going, especially like today. Sometimes I have some days a little bit rougher than some others, and especially it seems like the days when I get up and I really spend time with the Lord, and I've been so blessed, you know, having that personal relationship with him and, you know, studying the word and just encouraged, and then it's like something happens and, oh, my goodness. But God gives me the strength, and I'm grateful because what I have studied in that morning was able to get me to this point to be on the phone tonight. And
Amen.
A lot of times when we face Thursday night, many, many times, you know, the enemy is trying to tempt you, talking in your ear, trying to encourage you not to get on the phone. And so we have to press our way, no matter what, press our way. And the other thing, Sunday morning gonna always be a battle. Whenever we trying to do something for the Lord, you know, we're gonna face that crisis, that hardship there, you know, that temptation there. And so we have to just press our way and say, in spite of, if I can get there, the Lord be my strength, I'm going to do it. And especially when it comes down to ministry. And many times I often think about when we go to the nursing home, Pastor, and one of the things that strengthened me so much is when we walk in that room and we see the people sitting there.
Mm.
It's so much of an inspiration because they are sitting there waiting on the Lord.
Mm.
And some of them have to depend on somebody else getting them there.
Yeah.
They can't come on their own. And so I think about it, I said, these people, you know, they can't, some of them can't walk, you know, they come in wheelchairs or whatever, you know, and they time span might be short, you know, but still at that, they come to hear a word. They come to be encouraged. And yet, you know, I'm walking, I got the activities of my limbs, I can move, I don't need anybody to help me. And, you know, why can't I get to church? Why can't I do something for the Lord? So that's the encouragement there. And it's so inspiring when I see them press their way.
Yeah.
It makes me want to continue to press my way. Even when I get there, sometime before I get there, I don't feel like preaching or sharing a word or, you know, giving words of encouragement. But after I see them, oh, my Lord, I'm just so inspired because they are so encouraging. And so I thank God for that. The other thing I thank God for is the unity that comes. The fellowship. When we come to church, we pull on each other's strength. When you read that verse 25 where you said they had testified, when you're testifying to one another, building up one another, strengthening one another, and so that touching, that in-person contact, means a lot. That unity that comes through that fellowship, being there with the other saints, means so much as talking to someone over the phone or talking to someone, texting someone. You know what I'm trying to say? That fellowship that you might do at bedside cannot compare to being in person and fellowshipping. Because even holding the hands, you know, our church is small, but even when we come to the altar and hold each other's hand, we are still strengthened because we are touching and agreeing.
Amen.
Amen.
And we are fellowshipping together in the presence of the Holy Spirit. We are building on each other, you know. So I thank God to be able to have that personal relationship with him, because there are many times when I have some rough days, but I know it's only the Lord that brings me through so that I can help somebody else. And I thank God for that opportunity and that privilege. And I thank God for Thursday night. Because Thursday night is like the refueling station. You get enough on Thursday night to get you to church on Sunday.
Amen.
So I thank God for that.
Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to the next caller. Last four digits, 6309. 6309, you're on there.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes. The question is, how has God helped me to make it through? Or something like that. But
keep going,
To keep going, Well, he's helped me. First of all, he's allowed me to have a relationship with him. He's changed my life. He's made me see things differently. He made me speak differently. But he's just done so much for me in my life, and I consider a couple of miracles. So it's just I know who he is. I know he is there. I know that I'm not an officer or anything like that, but I know that I'm working for the Lord. In my church, I know everything I do, I'm doing it, and I do the very best I can because it's for him, because of what he's done for me and my family. So he's helped me go through things, get through them, because I believe and trust in him. And just like Reverend Lindsay just said, he'll come to you and try to put things in your head and everything and this, that, and the other. But I do, when he does that to me, I'll bring it out in front of the church. You know, things that he knows is worrying me, that's what he do. Things that he knows is going to get you discombobulated in any kind of way he can, he coming for you to try to do it. But when I put it before my church, he can't do nothing about it. And I want him to know to back off. He backs off, and I know he's coming back, but I'd be ready for him because I believe in these scriptures, I believe in this Bible, and I trust and believe in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I really, truly do, because nobody can tell me. Wednesday, Thursday, and Sunday, I'll get to church Sunday. I don't care. I'm going to church. If I have to call a cab, I'm going to be there.
Amen.
You can't tell Sunday that you won't see me. And when you don't see me there, I'm either in the hospital or going home. Ain't nothing else going to take precedence for that from me. because that's what he gives me. That's my strength.
Amen.
And I love him for it, and I thank him for it, and I don't have to pay nothing for it. Salvation is free.
Yes, it is.
Believe in him and trust in him. He'll bring you through everything you got to go through. So he's made a way for me. He's made a way for my family. He makes the way. He's the way maker. He's the one that I depend and trust on. When I get sick, I look to the hills. That's where my health and strength come from. I don't worry about what these doctors say, you know? I believe in the Lord. And I'm going to have wisdom and have sense to do some of the things that the doctors say, but they ain't going to just get my money. No. No. No, I'm not. It's not that kind of party. But I believe and trust in the Lord, and I'm thankful to be able to still be on the line on Wednesday and Thursday and be able to come to church on Sunday. And God is my refuge and my strength, and he's who I look to.
Amen.
So I just want to say thank you for listening. Amen.
God bless you.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to the next caller. Last four digits, 3343. You on there?
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Yes, Lord. I was waiting on you last Thursday, and Thursday is always my day for waiting for Thursday. I seem like everything problems comes in on Thursday. The devil knows, he knows where I got to go. He knows where I'm going to go. And he picks on Thursday to wait for me to do his thing. Like last Thursday, I went to this car show. I wanted to go. I've been going to car show since they started. But as it's been, I wanted to go. And I've been here now 14 or 15 years in this area. And I wanted to go, but I've been told and afraid to go. My wife is scared to go downtown to see where it's at. And she's scared to even go in D.C. And I just don't know about to go. And I'd had to depend on somebody to take me to go. And it's always somebody that the devil always tried to make it bad for me to go. And the Holy Spirit had given me a feeling that I should not go. And I tried to cancel the trip and not go. But there came, I turned around again, and the Spirit said, if you believe in Jesus, do not be afraid of whatever you try to do. Wherever you want to go, go it on. And I got to go. I got to go down. And downtown, it do look miserable. I swear, it looks sad. But anyway, I got down there, and they tell you that the devil started working. He met me at the front door of the museum, however the place was, but the car show was. At the front door, the devil walked me to the door, and I hadn't got in the door. And it made me want to turn around and go back and call people to tell me to come back and get me and go. Because I saw the devil going to get somebody hurt. No sooner I got there, this person hit me in the front door and told we could not go in the place until 11 o'clock. And 11 o'clock come, there's four or five white people standing in the front there. And all of a sudden, they go up the steps, and then all of a sudden, everything turned around for us. And he wants to get indignant and get ignorant. So now I see what the devil's going to be. Now it's going to be a problem to harm somebody and get a fight going with them and get somebody hurt.
Right.
That went on, man. That God told me, go and enjoy yourself. You have to believe in me. Believe in me. That's what I did. I went around and I'm watching everybody. I didn't really enjoy myself because I'm steady watching everything to make sure that maybe nobody don't make the wrong move or say something wrong to me. Anyway, it got there. And it was day went on through. And God told me, you please me. You please me, so therefore stay on the road. And every time I get to where I'm going to go, it happens on Thursday. This Thursday, it happens to be on this Thursday, this morning, or should I say last night. It happened to me again, tackling me, the family, tackling me every kind of way. The devil's still not working. The devil stopped working. The Lord said, if you believe in me, you've been believing all the way, do not let it bother you.
Amen.
And
I was trying to make myself take the thing that said, well, the thing that I talked to Pastor your father when he first came to the one day picnic. And oh my God. Oh. I get so wound up in it said backwards. I forgot what he was talking about, and then something it came to me. Subject it came to me, and I just listened to God and said, "I'm going to change because I got to here. I have no friends. I have no associates to deal with, and I thought I was going to have a good friend that I could deal with." And the Lord needed him, and so he took Robert Lee on for me, so I didn't get nobody now.
Yeah.
So I try to deal with it by myself, and I just hold on Thursday to where my receiving from it and feel my feeling my good.
Amen.
And I'm just so pleased. How good am I ever? I feel good. So I just get good. And
amen.
I look for
yeah.
Thursday. Okay.
Amen.
God has been good to me all my life. I did not realize it until I got older now, and I know where I'm supposed to be. I just keep on kicking it, and he's going to hold on my hand, and wherever he wants me to go, I'm going to do it, or how I'm going to do it, how he's prepared for me to do it. If he let me stay in long enough to do it, I will be doing it.
Amen.
So until then, God's been good to me all of my life, and I stick with him on this way, and I look forward to Thursday. I really miss Thursday. You sort of upset me when you get sick because I miss my Thursday.
God
bless.
You have to hold on to me. And, you know, man, and you stay well so I can stay and keep on my Thursday.
Amen.
All right, Pastor.
Bless you.
Right. I'm gonna get there. God gonna get me there. Regardless of where wherever it is, God gonna get me there.
Amen.
All
Amen.
Right. Thank you.
Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. All right, we can go to the next caller. Last four digits, 1712. 1712, you're on air.
Good evening, everybody. I missed the question. I'm sorry.
How God kept you going?
Oh, wow, it's a good one. He's allowed me to. He's allowed me to. Man, that's a tough one. Oh man. God has allowed me to have 39 years worth of chances. That's how he's kept me going, because there were so many times God kept me going, I didn't even realize God was working and God was doing things. And, you know, I think I talked about it before, as I've kind of developed a relationship with Christ, I started reflecting back and even looking at my current situation, and was like, God has really been in my corner. You know, even there were dark times when I felt I was forgotten, I was forsaken, I was going through it. And I know we've all had points in our life and we're getting, you know, feedback from people that we shouldn't be getting feedback from. And I realized, you know, God has kept me going and kept me, you know, throughout all of it. But, you know, God has also, you know, told me that there are things that I need to do, you know, to please, to be pleasing in the eyes of God, and things that I need to work on and continue to grow. But God has kept me going, and I know Sister Gregory stated it too, you know, and it's basically by me leaning on my past victories. You know, everybody say new level, new devil, and it couldn't be more true in the last couple of years. So as I get better and I become a better spiritual version of Brandon, you know, there's new, you know, temptations, new devils waiting for me at the next level. And the reason I get through it is because I say, you know what, when I was on those previous levels, I started out rocky and shaky, and I leaned on God, and God was there for me. So I'm going to continue to utilize that formula so God to continue to keep me and get me through it. Because I've always been an advocate that if God brings you to it, he'll definitely bring you through it and take me to a better place, which is ultimately another level. But, you know, it doesn't solely rest on God. You know, I want to be clear about that. There are things that we have to do as Christians. So God knows that we're serious about this commitment. We're serious about this walk. And we're serious about what's required of us as Christians living here in this world. So, you know, God has kept me, and I'm so grateful for it, because I know a lot of people in my life started off with me on this journey, and I've had to end some relationships. I've had to sever some ties. I've had to take a long, hard look at myself in the mirror. I've had to have some sleepless nights and go on some walks and kind of go to sleep with all these things weighing on my spirit and weighing on my mind. But, you know, through it all, God has kept me. And then just me having that faith and having that strength, because, you know, a lot of people, I think we touched on it, you know, they go down the aisle, they want to be saved, and they don't realize, like, when you turn your life over to Christ or you announce that, the devil's coming, full force, ready to go, rearing it, whatever, and you got to have your support system in place, because, you know, Satan's not worried about those individuals who don't have a relationship with Christ. He's worried about the people that are announcing it and are proud about it and are ready to go on this journey, but a lot of us fall by the wayside. You know, I've seen it. I've had my days where I've questioned, is this something that I really want to do, because I'm up here going to church every Sunday and I feel like I'm being attacked, but there are people out here smiling, sunshine, and birds chirping, and they don't have a care in the world. But then I realize they don't have a relationship with Christ. So Satan's not worried about them. Satan's worried about attacking me and severing that relationship. But I just thank God, you know, he's allowed me and kept me, because, you know, tomorrow's not promised. I think we've all seen that and know that. But, you know, I'm not scared of death. I used to be, but the more I've read about the Bible and the more I've understood, you know, what the end goal is going to be, I've just embraced it, that death is a part of life. And if we're Christians and we're serious, I want to go home and be with the Lord one day. Maybe not this soon, but eventually that's what the goal is, and that's why we signed up to be Christians. So I just, you know, thank God that he's kept me, and I hope that God and pray that God will continue to keep me and get through it. But, you know, now, Doc, I welcome the adversity, because you know what? I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to give it my all. I'm confident in myself. I know my routine. I've got people like you all in my corner praying for me every day. I've got a good family base who was built and raised us in the church. So, you know, whatever is to come, I embrace it, you know, because that's the only way I'm going to continue to grow in the body of Christ. And, you know, my challenge to all of everybody, if you're listening on this call, is like, embrace those challenges, because they're necessary. They're necessary for growth. Back in the biblical times, people were attacking, you know, children of God. They were attacking Jesus Christ. So what makes you think that they're not going to attack us? I'm not out here healing people and saving people, and you still had doubters and naysayers when Jesus walked the earth. So don't be surprised when people attack us and come after us and do those things. Just make sure that you pull on the whole armor of God, so God can continue to keep you and allow you to get through this journey. But, you know, I just ask that you all continue to pray for me, and then I'll pray for you all. But, you know, great question for tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We go to the next caller. Last four digits. 7971. 7971. You're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I've been listening to everyone that has spoken tonight, and it's so true and it's so relevant in our Christian walk. The year 2019 was a rough year for me, and I thank God that I have a personal relationship with him. And as people often say to me, you're a woman of your word. God is man and spirit of his word. And he has always been there for me at my worst moment. He's lifted me up to show me who he is and what he is to me. I can't start to tell you how many times he's kept me going. Out of all the ups and the downs, he's never changed. His word has never changed. And he, at my worst moments, when I can fall on my knees, humble my heart, and talk to him like we're talking right now. And he answers. For the first time in our 15 years of church, I missed our anniversary. I know when to and when not to. And when the Holy Spirit speaks to me, I answer and I listen, and I'm very obedient to my Heavenly Father. I've missed it. It hurt me, but I did not want to be at church at my worst. I've gotten sick of our church about two or three times. It's not a good feeling. It's interruptive. But when you have that relationship and God tells you it's okay, but then the new year came in, and I said, Lord, what shall I do? What do you want me to do? Something is not right in my life. And he showed me. The Sunday that we were starting to start church, Bible study, not Bible study, but Sunday school. Because last year I lost hearing, and not lost hearing, because that hearing is coming back, and I'm praying for a complete recovery in this ear.
Amen.
Short-term memory, I'm praying, Lord, give it back to me. And he's gradually shown me. He's kept me going. Like today, I didn't wear the hearing aid, and I didn't miss it.
Amen.
And I went to pull it out, and I said, oh, my Lord, I didn't put it in. And then I haven't denied the short-term memory. People that know me, Pastor, know if I'm stuttering, he'll say the words. I said, thank you, Pastor, and I keep walking. I keep talking. The other thing is when I'm praying or in Bible study, Tuesday morning meditation, when she knows when I stop, and she knows I'm thinking, all right, Trustee Randolph, blah, 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 blah. That's God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping me going.
Yeah.
It's nothing to be ashamed of.
That's right. That's right.
This is how he operates. This is how he keeps you going. It's amazing. It's amazing. My daughter, she was so upset. Mama, what's wrong with you? You've never been. I said, baby, Mama's told you what the problem is. You got to help me.
Mm-hmm.
And now we can have a full conversation, and she's talking with me. I said, when I'm talking, I might sound rude, but I have to tell you while it's on my mind, because if I don't say it now, tell Pastor, you know I've got to interrupt right now and say what I got to say, because if I don't say it, it's gone. I don't know when it's going to come back.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But this is how he operates and keeps me going.
Mm-hmm.
When the people around you know that's filled with the Spirit, filled with the Holy Ghost, and know God,
mm-hmm.
he brings you through in a different way.
Yep.
It's nothing to be ashamed of.
Right.
And I thank God that we have this open conversation that fits in just when you need it.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing to be ashamed of. I will soon be 80 years old in another year. As my doctor says, these organs have been working for 80 years. They're getting tired.
Right.
They're getting tired. So I have to mix that. And all day long I'm praying, Lord, give me the strength. You know, if you give me the strength,
yeah.
God, I'm going to do what I got to do. And he does.
Mm-hmm.
And he does. The only thing I won't try, I don't take no chances on, is that vertigo. You're not going to put me behind the wheel.
Right.
I don't care what the situation is. I'd rather stay home and meditate with God and be safe and not hurt somebody else as to get behind that wheel and maybe kill somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It's judgment, but then he guides you through it. He guides you through it where you won't have a guilt feeling. That you're
mm-hmm.
letting down, that you're not doing what you're supposed to do. Where is your faith? That kind of stuff, the devil will try to work on your brain to
mm-hmm.
make you feel that you're not doing what you have to do. And at our meeting on Sunday, last Sunday, we started out fresh. I felt good about it. I know we're on the right track. And there's so many things in your spiritual life that you concentrate on, it helps you forget about it. But to tell you
mm-hmm.
the truth, and people say you're bragging, they want to label you as this, that, and the other. I can't help it, because God has been so good to me all of my life. When Pastor gets up in that pulpit and says, you got a roof over your head, you got food to eat, you got clothes to wear, you got a car to drive, you got this, you got that, you got the other.
Amen.
It's only because of him.
Amen.
He's the only one supposed to get the credit, the glory.
Amen.
I am just one of those fortunate black women that was able to beat the odds because of God. I've always gone to church, even in my worst moments. I went to church. didn't drink, I didn't smoke, I didn't run the streets, didn't do all this, married all my life. But God, I give him the glory, and I thank God for it because he has kept me going through all the ups and downs in my life. I depended on God. The death of my husband, the car accident was the most severe things that have ever happened to me. And I didn't think I was going to make it. But look at me now.
Amen.
Everything I asked for, everything I asked for, he gave it to me. He gave it to me. I can't ask for anymore. I can't serve nobody but him. My life is his. That personal relationship with God is the best thing that ever happened to me. And I thank God that you all are part of that.
Bless you.
That kept it going, that kept the torch going for me to be here tonight.
Bless
you. God, and God loves me, and so do I love you all.
We love you too.
Thank you.
Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. Sheila G, your last thoughts, comments, and close us out in prayer, please.
That's something that the only thing I want to say is that that's something that we all should continue to meditate on, is how God has helped us and how he will continually help us, and that we have to be regular in our attendance to him and consistent, regular and consistent with our growing and our study and our devotion to him, and consistent in our faith. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you once again for another Bible study night. Thank you, Father, for us being able to dwell in your word and to learn more and become more intimate and understand you more and more, so that we can be good servants unto you and that we can help to draw others to Christ, Lord. Lord, I pray that you will just meditate with us and meditate in our hearts and help us to meditate with you so we can do the will of God, not so much our will, but being servants unto you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for all your many blessings. In your precious name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.